absolute power corrupts absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone. Once again, it's 10 o'clock East Coast time in the AM on a wonderful Sunday morning, the second day of summer, June 22nd. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And of course, as always, we're talking the master plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. The place to be if you want to talk to me. We have a chat room. We do have some chat people in the chat room. We're going to be talking excuse me, about them. Also, chat room's open for your convenience. Lay your knowledge, ask a question, make a statement. It's all there. Got a lot of things in store for you today. Going to be talking about some football. Some things that are going on that has to pertain to a particular football team. And I'm going to put some controversy and see what happens. But I'll be right back after this. Yes, sir, I'm back. All right. I am JT, as always. And we're going to be talking a little football, as always. You know, that's one of my favorite subjects to talk about. But the things surrounding football that I really want to talk about. And we're also going to be talking about some my fantasy baseball team and what I've been going through the last few weeks through the whole season. Up until this point. And like I've always said, doesn't make a difference whether I'm going good or going bad. I'm going to be talking about it, and because you can gain knowledge from the good things that happen and also especially from the bad things that happen. So I've had bad things happen, I've had good things happen. So we'll talk about that. But first of all, I touched on it yesterday. And I'm going to say, before I go any further, and I would be remiss in saying this, the show is sponsored by the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com website, where winners play and players win, and also the phone call that you make to me, which is 347-637-3220, is also sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com website. Where winners play and players win, okay? So with all that out of the way, I just wanted to say this. I touched on it lightly, very lightly, with Vic yesterday on the FSP show. But I wanted to get into it more because the fact is, and it's unfortunately, unless one of them calls in or both of them calls in, that I have a Redskin, at least one Redskin fan on here to talk about it. Now, I do know some Redskin fans that, other than Vic and his cousin, that are Redskin fans, but I'm not sure if they're ready to come on and talk. I have to talk to them off the air and get their gauge their feelings on how they would feel about talking on air. Some people, you know, get I wouldn't say they're going to do that, but some people do get nervous, and it's a possibility that they feel uncomfortable expressing their feelings other than talking face-to-face or on the phone with someone. Having whatever amount of audience we have here, listen to the conversation, and it feels self-conscious or whatever. But it is what it is. I understand, because four or five years ago, when I first started talking to Vic on his very first few shows, it was very uncomfortable for me because I'm not the greatest talker. I'm not the greatest guy, and I don't have the big, extremely big words, the height, the big college education, and can't sometimes eloquently say what I want to say. But I try to get it out as best I can in the best way I know how. So with that being said, I wanted to talk about, and I had touched on, like I said, lightly yesterday, that the U.S. Patent Office and weighed in, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and I think you guys know where I'm going if you listen to sports, especially football, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office decided to rescind the fatal trademark protections for the Washington Redskins. Now, I'm going to read an article from a Jonathan Turley from the Washington Post. Now, this may be a little biased, but I'm going to still read it because, I mean, he's in Washington. I'm not saying it's going to be biased, but I'm going to read this anyway. And then I want to talk about it because I think it's important, and I'd like to get your opinion if you decide to call in, or I'm just going to talk, and you can say I'm full of it, or you can say you agree with me, or whatever. Like I said, there's ways of talking to me, either on the phone like we're talking right now, or through the chat room. All right? It's at www.blogtalkradio.com/ V-I-C-H-B-K. Then you just come in as a guest or whatever and get in the chat room if you'd like to do that. Regardless, I'm going to read this Jonathan Turley article, who's he's a professor. He's the Shapiro Professor of Public Interest at George Washington University. And believe it or not, he has testified in Congress about the shift of power in the federal system to federal agencies. Now, I'm reading this right from the article, so I'm not giving you anything that I don't know anything about, because I'm reading it right from the article. And I'm going to read this article to you. The decision this past week by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to rescind federal trademark protection for the Redskins may ultimately tip the balance in controversy over the 80-year-old name of Washington's football team. If so, that would be a shame, not because there's insufficient reason to consider the name disparaging to Native Americans, as the Patent Office determined. Many of us recoil at the reference to skin color as a team identity. Problem is that the Redskins case is just the latest example of a federal agency going beyond its brief inappropriately insert itself in social and political debates. Now, like I said, he's testified in Congress about the shift of power in federal system to the federal agencies. So he's the type of guy that, from what I'm seeing here, the first part of this is that he wants the government to stay out of the everyday life of Americans. Few people would have expected the future of the Redskins to be determined by an obscure panel in a relatively small government agency. Yet the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board showed little restraint in launching itself into this heated argument, issuing an opinion that supports calls for a change from powerful politicians, including President Obama and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. The board had at its disposal a ridiculously ambiguous standard that allows the denial of a trademark if it may disparage a substantial composite of a group at the time the trademark is registered. Excuse me. This standard isn't concerned with how wildly offensive a trademark may be now, or with how the general population or even a majority of the group in question views it. It didn't matter to the patent office that polls show substantial majorities of the public and the Native American community do not find the name offensive. A 2004, now this is 10 years old. So when you start pulling this stuff from 10 years old, you gotta come, in my opinion, you gotta come with something more recent. You can't go from 2004. Come on. In 2004, Annenberg Public Policy Center poll found that 90% of Native Americans said the name didn't bother them. Instead, the board focused on a 1993 resolution adopted by the National Congress of American Indians denouncing the name. So, now, I can go two ways here. And this is a contradiction. In my opinion, there's a contradiction. Okay, quite naturally, you're looking at this. This is a contradiction. 2004, 10 years ago, that 90% of Native Americans didn't find it offensive. Okay, then he goes back and pulls something out 21 years ago that the National Congress of American Indians denounced the name. The board simply extrapolated that since the National Congress represents about 30% of Native Americans, one out of every three Native Americans found it offensive. 30% is without doubt a substantial composite, the board wrote. Okay. So, I mean, you can pull a statistic out and to sway you one way or the other. To go whatever direction you want, all right? But in my opinion, regardless of what poll you got here, you got one from 93, you got one from 2004. One's 21 years old, one's 10 years old. Neither one of these, in my opinion, hold weight. Now, let's go a little further. Politicians rejoiced in the government intervention, which had an immediate symbolic impact. As Senator Maria Cantwell said Wednesday, this is a quote. You want to ignore millions of Native Americans? Now, she's from the state of Washington, so she's out west. Well, it's pretty hard to say the federal government doesn't know what they're talking about when they say it's disparaging. For the Washington Redskins, now this is not a quote, this is the rest of the article. For the Washington Redskins, there may be years of appeal and pending a final decision. The trademarks will remain enforceable. But if the ruling stands, it will threaten billions of dollars in merchandising and sponsorship profits for the NFL teams, which share revenue. Redskin owner Daniel Snyder would have to yield or slowly succumb to death by 1,000 infringement paper cuts. Now, as you know, Daniel Snyder said over his dead body would he change the name of the Redskins. The dead body may be coming up pretty soon by the name of Washington, by the name of Roger Goodell, and the other owners of the NFL, if it has to do with revenue that's generated and it's shared by all the teams. Bottom line here is green. It's going to affect the green of the profits of the NFL, which is a non-profit organization, and the owners of the NFL teams, then they're going to put undue pressure on Daniel Snyder to change the name. I can guarantee you that. The patent office opinion also seems to leave the future of trademarks largely dependent on whether groups file challenges. Currently, trademark slogans such as Uppity Negro and You Can't Make a Housewife Out of a Whore could lose their protections despite the social and political meaning they hold for their creators. I didn't know that, but Uppity Negro and You Can't Make a Housewife Out of a Whore, their trademark is I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about that. I'm reading this article and getting very educated. We can see organizations struggle to recast themselves so they less likely attract the ire of litigious groups. The way that Carthage College changed its sports team's nickname from Red Men to Red Men, and the California State University at Stanislaus Warriors dropped their Native American mascot and logo in favor of the Roman warrior Titus. It appears fighting Romans are not offensive, but fighting Sioux are. Wow. As federal agencies have grown in size and scope, they have increasingly viewed their regulatory functions as powers to reward or punish citizens and groups. The Internal Revenue Service offers another good example. Like the Patent Office, it was created for a relatively narrow function, tax collection. Yet the agency also determines which groups don't have to pay taxes. Historically, the IRS adopted a neutral rule that avoided not-for-profit determinations based on the contents of organizations, beliefs, and practices. Then in 1970 came the Bobby Jones University case. The IRS withdrew the tax-exempt status from the religious institution because of its rule against interracial dating on campus. The Supreme Court affirmed in 1983 that the IRS could yank tax exemption whenever it decided that an organization is behaving contrary to established public policy, whatever that public policy may be. Bobby Jones had to choose between financial ruin and conforming its religious practices. It did the latter. Now, there is an obvious problem when the sanctioning of free exercise of religion or speech becomes a matter of discretionary agency action, and it goes beyond trademarks and taxes. Consider the Federal Election Commission's claim of authority to sit in judgment of whether a film is a prohibited electioneering communication. While the anti-George W. Bush film Fahrenheit 9/11 was not treated as such in 2004, the anti-Clinton Hillary the movie was barred by the FEC in 2008. The agency appeared Caesar-like in its approval and disapproval, authority that was curtailed in 2010 by the Supreme Court decision in Citizens United. Even water has become a vehicle for federal agency overreach. Recently, the Obama administration took punitive action against Washington State and Colorado for legalizing marijuana possession and sales. While the administration said it would not enforce criminal drug laws against marijuana growers, gaining points among the increasing number of citizens who support legalization and the rights of states to pass such laws, it used a little-known agency, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, to cut off water to those farms. The Bureau of Reclamation was created as a neutral, and I quote this, and I'm reading this again, the Bureau of Reclamation was created as a neutral supplier of water and a manager of water projects out west, not an agency that would open or close a valve to punish non-compliant states. I'll say that again. I'm going to read that sentence again, people, because it's very important, but it's important because of the rest of this article and what I have to say after this. The Bureau of Reclamation was created as a neutral supplier of water and a manager of water projects out west, not an agency that would open or close a valve to punish non-compliant states. When agencies engage in content-based speech regulation, it's more than a usual issue of mission creep. And as I've written before in these pages, agencies now represent something like a fourth branch in our government, an array of departments and offices that exercise responsibilities once dedicated exclusively to the judicial and legislative branches. Insulated from participatory politics and accountability, these agencies can shape political and social decision-making. To paraphrase Clawitz, water taxes, and even trademarks appear to have become the continuation of politics by other means. What is needed is a new law returning these agencies to their core regulatory responsibilities and requiring speech neutrality in enforcement. We do not need faceless federal officials to become arbiters of our social controversies. There are valid objections to the Redskin name, but it is a public controversy that demands a public resolution, not a bureaucratic one. And this is from an article, like I said, from Jonathan Turley, who's a professor at George Washington. I'll get it right. He's a professor at He's a professor at George Washington University. And I got it. There's some points in here. The main point he's making is this. Now these non-regulated agencies, like the U.S. Trademark, U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the what else is here? This other federal agency, Internal Revenue Service, or the Federal Election Commission, and also this one the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. All these are agencies that, from what this article is saying, is overstepping their bounds and putting themselves in the political arena. And I hate to say it like this, but I'm going to say it like this. It looks, it smells of of the political majority or the political power of certain administrations, okay? And I'm not just pointing out, I'm an Obama supporter, but I'm not just pointing out the Obama administration. I'm pointing out that these agencies are, in my opinion, from what I'm observing, are reaching out and using obscure laws within the bounds of whatever agency trademark or water rights falls under, are slowly but surely taking our rights away. All right? Either from states or quite naturally from states and the citizens within those states, as in the case in at West, cutting off the water, the supply of water from, you know, Washington State and Colorado because of their legalizing marijuana possession and sales. Or, in this case, which I'm really talking about, is the Redskin name, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, taking away that. So that can hurt in the revenue and also hurt because of the fact that it's a federal agency with the support of the current administration and the Senate Majority Leader, that are trying to, I wouldn't say undo pressure, but trying to put as much pressure as they can possibly put on the Daniel Snyder and the Washington Redskin organization so they would capitulate and come up with another name and change it from what it is now to something that which they've had for 80 years. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's correct. Okay? They've had this for 80 years. All right? Now, I'm pretty sure, and it has something back from 21 years saying that there was 30% of the people. That's 30% is a substantial amount. Then they have someone from 10 years ago saying it was 90% didn't mind it. Well, 10 years ago, 21 years ago, I'm talking about today. I wouldn't take a poll. I wouldn't take a stock in a poll unless it was at least, it had to be at least 3 years old. Can't be any later than 3 years old. Now, it's 2014, so we're talking about 2011. So it's the 2011 up into present day. And I'm stretching it for 3 years. The more recent poll is the more accurate poll, in my opinion. You start taking polls back from 10, 21 years ago, you're reaching for something that's going to work for you, that's going to fit whatever you're trying to make it fit into. So, in my opinion, you don't do that. In my opinion, you take the poll and you take a poll when it's a recent poll and use that, not something that is is 10 and 21 years old. That doesn't work for me. Never will. Tell you the truth, never will work for me. And I just can't do that. So, what the heck is going on here? Oh, there it is. All right, bear with me, people. I'm trying to get something together here. So, in closing is this. Well, I'm not going to close because there's other things I want to talk about. I mean, you know, they are doing this, and it's Big Brother. Now, I had talked to my son, my oldest son, and it had to be at least close to 10 years ago when he had said to me, and I found it hard to believe, but he had said to me that Big Brother and was on upon us, and that more and more the government is trying to control our lives. Now, if you've seen these futuristic pictures, a lot of them, and when you go into the future, it seems like up until the last, when he talked to me, up until now, there's more and more of the rights of people are being taken away, and the government is telling you how to lead your life. Now, I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying that it's wrong or right, but and how can I say this now? The Washington Redskins' name has been in 80 years. Recently they've been protesting about it. But it seems like the political correctness of today may have times have gotten out of hand. Okay? Are we overly politically correct in this day and age? You're never going to please everyone. You're never going to please everyone. Okay? They've taken prayer out of school. They've taken saying the Pledge of Allegiance out of school. Some don't even, I wouldn't say celebrate Christmas, but that's a Christian a Christmas, supposedly a Christian holiday, and that may offend other people. I mean, how far do we go? How far do we go? You're never going to please everybody. Someone's always going to be offended. So anytime, well, say this. There's 32 teams in the NFL, right? There's 32 teams in the NFL. This is the one that people are offended by because it's a disparaging name because it's the Redskins, okay? I got it. It's the Redskins. I got it, okay? But I'm looking at the all the teams, okay, and trying to find out if there's a another disparaging name that could be offensive to some other group, and depending on who you talk to, it could be. But you know what? Let's go this route. You got to take a short break, and when I come back, we'll try to go to another subject. How's that?
Gotta change it, just you and me.
All right. I'm back. Had to take a little short break there. I'm back. All right. Like I said before, and that music I played was apropos to what I've been saying. Regardless of what political party is in power, okay, our rights have slowly been being taken away from us, okay? You got to be politically aware and of what's going on in the world. And I have to tell you the truth, I've been a little remiss of quite a bit of late. But things like this and articles like that, now, I mean, you can get articles to go one way or the other, but to point things out, you can get something good out of any article, for the most part. Let you know that Big Brother, is out there and slowly chopping away and slowly directing the way you should think and getting away, in my opinion, from what this country was founded on. Independent thinking, independent living, and being a democratic society for the people, not the powers that be controlling the people, the powers that be doing the will of the people. Just be aware of that. I'm not trying to get on my soapbox and preach, but there's things that are happening in everyday life of people that can be greatly improved if more people knew about it, if more people were informed about it. Versus not thinking everybody's involved in their life, in just their life, and while you're not looking, that little kid is stealing a cookie in the cookie jar instead of you looking out, you telling the kid, no, you can't do that, and then you look away, and that kid is doing the exact opposite of what you want him to do. Just be aware of that, people. Just be aware. All right. And also on that note, one last thing here, and this is something else I wanted to get into. Now, I got into the political ramifications and things happening and going on. Now, I want to go into what it – and this, I guess this has turned into a political show today for whatever reason. But I also read an article – from ProFootballTalk.com website. It's about RG3 and him weighing in on the Redskins name. And I thought it was very interesting, and I wanted to bring this up because the fact is this has huge ramifications, not just on RG3, but athletes in general. This is from Michael David Smith. It's dated yesterday. Yesterday afternoon. That's when it was posted on ProFootballTalk.com. Sports stars rarely wade into divisive issues, and it's no surprise that RG3 wants to steer clear of the controversy surrounding his team's name. Griffin said on 106.7 The Fan that he'd rather not talk about his own feelings about the Redskins' name controversy. This is a quote from Griffin. When it comes to those conversations, it's just not the time. And I understand, trust me, I'm an African-American. I've grown up being an African-American my entire life, and I understand oppression and all the things that come with it. But for us, like I said, as players, we have to focus on what we can control right now. And right now, that's the football season. Now, the article goes on to say that's not a surprising answer. Athletes usually calculate that if they speak out, they're more likely to lose fans, lose endorsements, and distract from their primary jobs than to affect social change. When asked whether he would want to be Muhammad Ali of his generation, a sports star who speaks his mind despite the consequences, Griffin said that's not how he sees his role. Okay, it's a slightly different makeup than Muhammad Ali, but we'll follow along in this article. And this is another quote from Robert Griffin III. If anything to that extent came up as a player, you had an opportunity to be the Muhammad Ali of your generation when it comes to oppression and just things being wrong. My parents grew up in that time. I've heard stories about it. I've watched movies about it. I understand that. And if it comes to that, then you make a decision at that time. But at this time particularly, we have to focus on what we can control. And then the article, like I said, goes on. When the Redskins launched a Twitter campaign in defense of their name, some players joined in. Griffin did not, and he said the team didn't ask him to. And another quote from Robert Griffin, the team does those things, and I don't have any statement on what they do in those situations, but they didn't ask me to do that. Anyone asking Griffin to weigh in on the Redskins' name is likely to come away unsatisfied. On that subject, RG3 is keeping his opinions to himself. Now, I'm going to talk about this for a minute. Quick minute. Well, not a quick minute, but for whatever amount. I got the time. It's my pulpit, so I got the time. If you want to weigh in there, 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the Fantasy Sports Book and Casino.com hotline where winners play and players win. Anyway. Athletes, should they be weighing in on social issues? Is this a social issue? Or is this strictly an issue for the NFL and it's not a social issue? Well, it's a disparaging name, or so it's been called a disparaging name, and it's offensive. And it's probably the only one. I mean, you got the Fighting Irish, Irishman. I would think that would be disparaging to a stereotype pointed at the Irish Americans of Irish descent. Should the athletes be talking out on this? Should Robert Griffin III, since he carries a lot of weight, he has sponsors, and he's the face of the team, should he be weighing in on this? Would it hurt his stature as the member of the Washington Redskins? Would the owner be a little pissed if he spoke out against having the Redskin name? I would think so. The owner pays his salary. Is he worried about his endorsements? I would say so. They pay quite a bit of money for him to be cast in a positive light. Would he lose some fans? I would say he would lose some fans because the fact is, if he spoke out against it, or he spoke for it, one way or the other. Okay? Just put it this way. An athlete, put in this situation, speaks in support of the name, okay? And it turns out, now this is a disparaging name that it's supposed to be out there, the Redskins. And he spoke in support of the name. Now he would lose fans because there's fans out there that don't like the name, but like the team but don't like the name. There's sponsors out there that want him as an endorser, but now he's putting himself on one side of the fence versus being neutral that he may lose. So what's an athlete to do? Is an athlete supposed to jump out there and put himself out there? Now, some athletes have done that. Athletes of the same stature of Robert Griffin III, I don't think so. And like I say, he's the face of franchise. He's a quarterback, and he's pretty popular throughout the NFL and throughout the fandom of the NFL. So he would put himself out there, really out there, if he went one way or the other. regardless of if he went positive on the positive side, depending on how you look at it, on the positive side, supporting Daniel Snyder, keeping the name, or on the positive or negative side of the side that wants to change the name. Basically, in my opinion, they're in a no-win situation. Now, if it had to do with something that was, like he said, the same type of situation and same things that are going on with Muhammad, that when Muhammad Ali and his time, where there was an equal rights issue, segregation was widespread throughout the nation, and rights of minorities were being violated on a constant basis. I can't even say day to day. I'm saying hour by hour, minute by minute. It was running rampant at the time, and the laws weren't protecting him, or the law itself. The ones that are to enforce the law weren't enforcing it and letting it go on until things got a lot better when athletes such as Muhammad Ali and others spoke out over and over again, and the bottom line came down to green and doing the right thing, as Spike Lee would say, but doing the right thing, that you had it affected change. Now, this is a name, and it's not the same thing as back in the day, back in the 60s, and it's a name that, in my opinion, more than likely needs to be changed, even though it's been a hot topic of late. They have this name for 80 years. But now we're in a extremely politically correct environment. Extremely politically correct environment. And wrong place, wrong time. Let me put it that way. Wrong place, long time name. And it's, and let me put it this way. It's not if, it's when. And Daniel Snyder, you're a smart guy. You're a smart businessman. You know this. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. You say over your dead body, it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. Now, I'm pretty sure some owners have talked to you already. I'm pretty sure Roger Goodell may have mentioned it once or twice in passing, or even, you know, made a phone call and said, look, it's coming. I know you don't want to do this, but we're going to have to do something about this because it's going to affect our bottom line, and the NFL and the rest of the owners aren't going to hold too well if you start taking revenue away from us, because they share the revenue. They share the revenue. So you come into another stadium, you're watching Redskins going to that stadium, they share the revenue. That's not happening if you have things like this happening. You got trademark infringement. I mean, the trademark taken away. So it's no longer a trademark, official trademark of the NFL. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. It's murky waters, and it's one big mess. And the only way it's going to go away, is when the name changes. This is not going to go away. You're going to have this fight for the longest. Now, it can all go away once you change that name. All the money that you spend appealing this taking of the trademark, you could hire a marketing firm to help you pick out the right name for you. You can solicit the fans or whoever to come up with a name. But it's not a matter of if, It is a matter of when. This is going to happen. So, Daniel Snyder and rest of the organization, Bruce Allen, Jay Gruden just got there. Gonna have to come up with another name. Another name. I mean, you can't save face now. You can forget that, because regardless of when, it's gonna seem like. And I know I know Daniel Snyder is a very, very hard-headed type of guy, and he appears to me this way. And I hate to disparage him like this, but he appears to be a guy with a lot of money. Okay, and spoiled rich kid, and this is his toy. No one's going to take his toy away, no one's going to change the name of my toy. Well, you may not have a choice. You really don't have a choice. You even got the government, the long arm of the government, weighing in, taking away, chipping away at you. Let me put it that way, chipping away. What else is going to happen before you realize I'm spending too much money here fighting this? When that money can be used in a more constructive way in other directions. So just you fought a good fight, but it's time to move on to bigger and better things. All right, let's get in. Did another thing here, real quick. Oh, just up, coming up this morning, with about Jimmy Graham and his grievance about whether he should get paid as a tight end or a wide receiver. The arbiter heard it, and this article says, with Jimmy Graham grievance hearing completed and the outcome now in the hands of an arbiter, some league insiders believe that the NFL wants to see the player and the team take a page from Terrell Suggs and the Ravens. Back in 2008. 6 years ago, Ozzie Newsome and Gary Wishart resolved among themselves the question whether Suggs is a linebacker or a defensive end for purposes of the franchise tag. While the Saints have done a very effective job of creating the impression they have nothing to do with the position, that Graham's position for franchise tag purposes should be a tight end, not a receiver, the reality is that the Saints have plenty to gain and plenty to lose based on the outcome. With $5.3 million in cash and cap space hinging on the question of whether Graham is a tight end or a receiver for tag purposes, the Saints undoubtedly want the number to be lower, especially since the $12.3 million receiver tag will lay the foundation for a far pricier long-term deal. With Suggs, the two sides worked out a one-year franchise tender and then struck a long-term deal in 2009. With Graham, the best outcome for everyone would be a long-term deal forged during this period of uncertainty regarding the outcome of the grievance. Of course, that would require the Saints to deviate from their apparent preference to work out a new deal on the latest possible date. In this case, the deadline for a long-term deal arrives on July 15th. Now, you know the arbiter is going to come up before that. The outcome is going to come before that. The Saints pushed it to the limit 2 years ago with Drew Brees, losing along the way a grievance that seemed far more winnable than the current one. Brees argued that if the Saints, who applied the franchise tag in 2012, were to tag him again in 2013, he'd be entitled not to a 20% raise, but a whopping 44% raise, since it would be the third time in his career that Drew drew the franchise tag. The argument seemed weak and flimsy and unsupported by the plain language of the labor deal, and yet Brees still won. Maybe the Saints should consider that precedence now. While the team has arguments about what should feel strongly, losing the Graham grievance would be far less surprising than losing the Brees grievance. If they do, it will cost $12.3 million to keep Graham for 2014, $14.76 million for 2015, and $21.25 million for 2016. That's 48 point, That's 48.31 million over 3 years on a year-to-year approach. If Graham chooses to take the Walter Jones approach and assume the injury risk for as long as the Saints are willing to continue using the tag. If the Saints don't want to pay a guy they regard as a tight end, $14.76 million in 2015 or $21.25 million in 2016, then he'll hit the open market and go to the highest bidder. For all those reasons and plenty of others, including the sending of a message to young players that they will be rewarded for their efforts without a protracted fight and or protracted delays, the Saints would be wise to find a way to work this out. If Graham wins his grievance, they'll wish they had. I got to agree with him. I can't, you know, over 60% of the time he's used as a wide receiver, and if they want to pay him as a tight end, even though on the Twitter site he says he's a tight end, but he's being used as a wide receiver, even though his official position is a tight end. You know what? Pay the man. This is another organization that, you know, and people get mad at players when players try to get as much money as they can and they're not looking at these organizations when they do things like this. I understand it's business. I understand that. But, you know, come on. Well, it's obvious that he's been used as a wide receiver. It's obvious that he should get paid a lot more than you're offering. Otherwise, he hits the open market and somebody else is going to pay him and you're going to lose what you had with him. So, it makes no sense to me, but it is what it is. Last but not least, got a little more than 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to talk about my fantasy baseball team. Talk about my fantasy baseball team. I've been playing fantasy baseball. This is my third year now. Won my first year, didn't make the playoffs last year, and as we speak now, when we were talking earlier, in the year, I hadn't been doing too well. I out of the first 6 weeks, I had 2 wins and 4 losses. Not looking too well, and way out of any kind of playoff contention. I was dead last. Okay, we go to week 8. I sustained 2 more losses. So that right there means I only had 2 wins and 6 losses. Truly bad. Well, since then, I've turned it around, and I've won 3 in a row, including beating the first-place team. I'm tied with another team as being the hottest team in the league right now. With a lot of moves, especially getting off the waiver wire, my weakness right now happens to be my pitching, and it'll still be my pitching because my hitting is doing well, and my weakness, which I have to stream a lot of pitchers in and out, scouring the waiver wire for good matchups to get pitching to help me carry over. My goal is this. This is what I'm trying to do. Win the majority of my hitting, because my hitters are pretty superior to a lot of teams in my league, and win the majority of my hitting and try to win. There's 10 categories of hitting, 10 hitters, and 10 categories of pitching. So I'm trying to win at least 6 or 7 categories in hitting and try to pick up 4 or 5 categories in pitching. Key on certain categories of pitching that I can pick up, and trying to win week to week. And the formula has been working well. I'm running a tight matchup with Mr. FSP Vic Gardner. Today is the last day of the week. I'm up 11-8. But it's been fluctuating down. It was at one point yesterday was 9-9, 10-9. Now it's 11-8. And it can go either way. Majority of what I'm getting from my team is hitting and winning a few of the categories in pitching, just like I said. So we'll wait and see what happens. I'll let you know next week. I'm glad that you join me. Tune in next week. And starting in August, starting in, I think mid-July. Just around the time the training camps start gearing up. I'm going to be talking about fantasy football. My favorite subject. Do's and don'ts we started off with. Draft tips we started off with. And leading up to the first week of football, by position, tight end, running back, wide receiver, quarterback, not necessarily in that order. What I like, who I see as possible sleepers, who I may be targeting. Now, I have eight to nine leagues, maybe 10 leagues or something like that. So I may be giving out trade secrets. I may be giving out secrets that I should keep to myself. But I'm giving them out because you can't draft everyone. So I'll be giving them out. I've done pretty well. I'm sitting looking at my two trophies. I was in four or five championships. I should have won all four, but when I go over my do's and don'ts, this is one of those do's and don'ts I'm going to stress, and I'll make sure I stress it to you because it cost me two championships at least last year. And the valuable lesson that I should have known better, and I didn't, and it cost me two more championships. But it is what it is. I promise you, getting in that situation again, it won't happen. With that being said, I want to thank you again for joining me. Tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's me, JT, with the Master Plan, and we're out.